Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of grace. Lord, your word says, when two or three gathered in my name, thou art there. Father, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we set free on earth will be set free in heaven. Lord, as today we come before your throne of grace with a willing mind and with a willing heart to listen to your word. Your word is the only thing that can change our lives. Your word is the only thing that can sustain us, encourage us, and make us stand, Father. You are our dwelling place. You are our safeguard. We come before your throne of grace, seeking your mercy. Lord, if I speak, nobody can listen. If I speak, nobody can change. If I speak, Father, nobody can receive it. Holy Spirit, come and take control. Holy Spirit, come and take control. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, saints, it's indeed a great privilege and an honor to have you all in the room tonight. Well, I have just come on a mic all of a sudden. But I always believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The more we speak about the Lord, the more freedom we have. Amen. Well, I just opened the word, looking before the Lord, when the song was going on, I was just praying in the Spirit. This is what the Lord has put before the saints that the Lord wanted me to share with. I want you all to go with me to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 2. The book of Malachi. Malachi, that's what some people call it. The book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verses 2. Glory to Jesus. Who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like the refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap. Hallelujah. Again, I repeat it. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like the refiner's fire, like the fuller's soap. Hallelujah. As I've been just looking to this verse, this is what I understand through the Spirit of God. Well, dear brothers and sisters, we are living in the world in these last days. And we all know everywhere we can hear, here is Christ, there is Christ, here is Christ coming, there is Christ coming. But Jesus, with his own mouth, confessed and opened unto all of us that people would say, here is Christ, there is Christ, but for no man would know my coming. For no man would know. Even the angels themselves would not know my coming. That's what he said. Well, leave about that. Jesus is going to come. Amen. Jesus is going to come, and Jesus is coming. Here is a question that Malachi is putting. Who may abide in the day of his coming? Every time we have a question in the Word of God, every time we have something the Word of God puts forth before us, we always have to come into our place where we put ourselves in the weighing mission, in the two stanzas, in the lift, especially where we measure our faith or measure our righteousness in comparison to what God really wants of us. So that is the time we need to put ourselves in a place where we question, on what state do we live? If Malachi is asking something very, very bold, you know, who may abide the day of his coming? Who will stand? And also in the book of Haggai, and also in the book of Joel, you read, the Lord is going to shake this whole earth. And even in Hebrews, you read it. And who will be able to stand when this shaking is going to take place? Who will be able to stand when the Lord appeareth? He comes like a refiner's fire. Well, what is the reason today we are not able to stand in the presence of the Lord? What is the reason that we are not able to come boldly before the throne of grace? There's so many things we need to come into, there's so many things that need to come into the limelight of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in the Word clearly shows us and portrays to us many things, And it also brings into the light many things that are really happening. In Revelation chapter 6 and verses 17, the Bible says, the Word of God says, hallelujah, or Jesus Himself says, great is the day. Nobody would be able to tolerate that day, is what it says. The day is great, for the day is great of His wrath. Hallelujah. Who shall be able to stand? Look at the way the word is questioning. Who shall be able to stand? Well, it's very easy to say in our lives, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've been Christian 30 years, since 15 years, whatever, whatnot. I've been a Christian from such a long time. So I don't have any further ado. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have faith in Him, because the Bible says, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have an everlasting life. So I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so I don't have any further ado, but I can stand before the Lord, and I know that I will face the King. That's what is our intention, that's what our thoughts, and that is what we are thinking about our spiritual life today. But the Bible clearly says, the word clearly says, pride shall not be in His presence. The proud will not stand in His presence. If you read in Psalm, I think, in the book of Psalms, in chapter 2 verse 5 or chapter 3 verse 5, let me just face it for you guys, just a minute, let me see it. The book of Psalms. You see, here it says, who will stand in the presence of God? Who will be able to stand in His presence facing Him? Because the boasters shall not stand in His presence. Hallelujah. Very clear. Very, very clear. The foolish shall not stand at thy sight. Thou hast all workers of iniquity. That's what it says in Psalm 5 and verses 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou knoweth all workers of iniquity. So it's saying, who will stand in the presence of God? The Bible says, who will stand? Who will be His sons? Who will be the remnant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Today we see in every scenario in our lives, in every state we see in our lives, everywhere there's something coming in our lives, and everywhere we have a reason, we have some or the other answer to proclaim to everything that's appearing in our lives. If I tell, sister, why didn't you attend this prayer? Or brother, why didn't you come here? Or why didn't you do this in the Lord? Or why didn't you do that in the Lord? We always have something called an excuse. Something called an excuse. But Jesus wants us to be excuseless Christians. Excuseless Christians. What is meant by excuseless? That means we don't have any excuse to follow Him. We don't hold any excuse to stand before Him. Every time we give an excuse, you know, my dear brothers and sisters, as in the day of the Lord, He will give an excuse. He will tell, you have done this and you can never stand in my presence. You have done this, so you can never come and stand in my presence. That's what God is going to say. Hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, here are some of the things that I want to portray. What is the main reason today why we are not able to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is because of excuses. It is because of giving excuses. That is the reason we are not able to stand in His presence. We could see there are different people in the world, you know, that were banished from His presence. It is because of one word, excuse. Instead of falling before the Lord and telling, sorry Lord, I have done it, I know and I acknowledge my mistake, I'm absolutely sorry Jesus, instead of saying that, we just, in other case, we just give an excuse to the Lord, and that is where we will be banished from the presence of God. So my dear brothers and sisters, let's see what the word says. So who shall see the Lord? Well, let us not talk about His coming or standing before Him after He comes. Let us talk about just now, as we are in the presence of God, are we able to face Him? Are we able to stand in His presence so that He would look at us and He would say, amen, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in many things. I'm going to make you the ruler of many things. Thou hast been faithful in little things. I'm going to make you the ruler of many things. Is the Lord going to say that or not say that? Hallelujah. So, The reason why we are not able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ is because of the excuses that we give in our lives. Everywhere we have an excuse, every time we could see that we will never be able to face the Lord. See, you might give excuses in your office, you might give excuses in your personal life regarding your personal things, but you can never ever come into a place of giving an excuse to your spiritual life, because spiritual life is not to be compromised. You can never ever compromise your spiritual life before the Lord. If you want to stand before the Lord, you should live a life without excuse. He knows your weaknesses. You are in the workshop of the Master, and the Master is working on your life each day. He knows your incompetency. He knows your weaknesses. He knows everything. There's no need for you to tell Him, because even a word, before it cometh out of my mouth, the Lord knoweth it all. Hallelujah. Even before a word would come out of my mouth, He would know it. So today, the reason why you and I are not able to stand in the presence of the Lord is clearly shown in the word, that the foolish will not stand in His presence. It is because we are with excuses. See, these virgins, they cannot come to the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, how come you closed? How come the bridegroom closed? Everything, all the doors are closed. How come? Our oil is over. Can't they wait for us? Can't they wait and allow us back inside?" No, no way. See, everywhere Noah was shouting, Noah was telling, "Hey, come on people, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your time. And if you don't believe, hey, come on man, you old man, you, as long as you say, nobody is going to believe you. No, as long as you say, nobody is going to listen to your word. Come on, Jesus is telling you, come on, get into the ark. This is the ark of the shadow of the Lord. This is the ark where you will have rest. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So He's calling, come on guys. And here is He saying, "No, no, I can't." Now here is, they're knocking at the door. "Come on, Noah, Noah, open the door. Noah, Noah, open the door." "The keys are not with me. The keys are in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus. So, "Oh, I didn't come on that doors. I was not able to come. I thought this was not true." Whatever excuse you give, the doors will not be open, because the doors are clearly locked. When these doors are locked, they will never be opened, even if you want them to be opened. The doors are locked. You will never be able to stand that heavy rain. You will never withstand in His presence. Hallelujah. The foolish shall not stand in His presence. Hallelujah. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, let us see, you know, to justify the wrongdoing or to justify in His presence, let us see five personalities in the Word of God, and let us see what is the reasons, or what are the places, seven different kinds of excuses in order to neglect the spiritual life, or in order to neglect our duty. Let us see somebody from the Word. Let's take, for example, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. First example from the Word. So let us take Genesis chapter 3 and verses 12. Book of Genesis chapter 3 verses 12. And it says, "And the man said, The woman whom thou givest to me is with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." He's not saying, "Told me not to eat, and I did not eat, Lord. It was by mistake I ate this fruit." He didn't say that. "Lord, please do forgive me. I've done something wrong against you. You have particularly told us not to eat, and I have eaten the fruit." He is not saying that. He's saying, "The woman that you gave." Look at the excuse. Look at the excuse. My dear brother and sister, he was giving an excuse for the wrongdoing. He was giving an excuse for what he has done. He's not telling, "Lord, have mercy upon me." Here is a man telling, a blind man telling, "Oh Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Please look unto me, because my life is perishing." Oh, here are the disciples shouting, "Oh Lord, we are perishing. Are you still sleeping? Where are you?" So here is the Adam saying, the first man to give this excuse was Adam for eating the forbidden fruit. Today in our lives, there are so many times we are telling, "It is because of him my life has become like this. It is because of him there are problems that are coming into my life. It is because of him, after this guy came into my life has become completely destructive." Well, come on, where is your wisdom gone? He's telling, be wise, as serpents and harmless as doves. He could have just given a small slap on the face of Eve and told, hey, come on, Eve, didn't the Lord tell you not to eat this? Didn't the Lord tell you, oh, we shouldn't do this? You have done something against the Lord. And, well, if Adam would have stood like that, if Adam would have just stood like that instead of giving that excuse, maybe the Lord would have had mercy upon them. Hallelujah. So, my dear brothers and sisters, the first excuse we see here is given. That's the reason they were banished from the Garden of Eden. They could not stand in the divine presence of the sovereign God, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They could not stand in the divine presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of that one excuse. Well, let's take another example. We see by Aaron making an excuse. You know, let's see Exodus chapter 32, verse 24. The book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 24. Here we read another excuse that's coming up. And I said unto them, whoever hath any gold, let them break it off, so that they can give it to me. When I cast them into a fire, there came out a calf. And when Moses saw the people were naked, and Aaron had made a naked calf, shame among their enemies, Moses stood on the gate camp. Who is the Lord? Look at that. Hallelujah. See, here is the second excuse. The Lord began to speak, and Moses said, oh, you people, wait here, right here. Moses said, I'm just waiting before the Lord, and the Lord is going to give you something great. So Moses has gone somewhere to hear from the Lord and to come back. Here are the people, shouting and yelling and making noises. Where is God? Why has he brought us into this wilderness? Why has he brought us into this place? Have you brought to kill us? Oh, it was good when you lived in Egypt. Look at that, the way they speak. They said, oh, we lived a very good life in Egypt. They were living in slavery. They were making bricks. They were suffering. They were literally stripped and ripped naked many times. Here are they shouting, the Lord gave them manna, the Lord gave them meat, the Lord gave them everything that they needed, anything and everything that they needed. The Lord gave them everything, but here are they shouting again and telling, oh, we need to see God. We need to see God. Have you brought us to kill? They said, come on, Moses is going to come back. These people are not listening. What should Aaron would have done there? Aaron would have said, well, you proceed with whatever you want, but I will wait for Moses. Here is an Aaron. At once he's telling, please do give all your gold, all your silver and everything, and I'm going to make a calf. I'm going to throw all this gold into the furnace, and it's going to become a calf. Look at that. Another excuse here. The people were shouting, so I made a calf. They were asking for God, you didn't return back, and that is the reason I did that. What happened? The wrath of the Lord came upon them. The wrath of the Lord came upon them. Many died just then and there. Fire from heaven came down, and many died then and there. Look at the excuse. There was an excuse, and what happened was all these people along with the golden calf, everything was under the wrath of the Lord. The reason because of that excuse that Aaron gave, by Aaron making an excuse of the gold calf. Look at that. Well, let's look. The third example in the Word. King Saul. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 12. The book of 1 Samuel. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, sister. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 12. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verses 12. The Word says, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made a supplication unto the Lord, and I have forced myself thereof and offered a burnt sacrifice. Look at this. This is a third excuse. According to the old covenant, priests normally arose from Levites. Any offering that had to be done in the tabernacle of the Lord, or anything that had to be done before the Lord, were done by the priest Levite. King should do a king's job, queen should do a queen's job, a worker should do a worker's job. each one should take his own responsibility. If I'm living in the body, if I'm the part and the parcel of the body of Christ, the Lord has given me an anointing called prophetic anointing, for example. If my anointing is prophetic anointing, I have to do what the Lord has given me. I cannot go and become a teacher. I cannot go and become somebody else. So I have to carry on my own responsibility. As a King Saul, here is an excuse. Now, the Lord was so angry because the Lord's anger was there because fighting against Philistines. Before making the Lord surpass, before making the Lord's anger surpass, here is Saul coming and offering a sacrifice, offering a burnt offering before the Lord. Whose job was it? It was Samuel's job, but Saul was doing it. Even before making the Lord calm down, here is offering a sacrifice. He was saying, oh, I had to do it because I did it. I did it because, you know, I thought, saw Samuel, you wouldn't come. I thought otherwise, oh, the Lord was angry with me, so I did it. A false excuse there. What happened? This man killed his own self. This man killed himself. You could see the word. At last, he gave his knife to a soldier to kill him. And the soldier was hesitant to kill him. He killed himself. That's what the Bible says. Well, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we see this example. Adam, for the forbidden fruit, were kicked out of the God's presence. Aaron, by making the gold calf, the wrath of God came upon. Here we see King Saul, who doing a priest's work and telling an excuse. He could not stand anymore. The same Saul that heard from the Lord in the beginning could not hear from the Lord anymore, because he could not withstand his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at another example in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 21. 1 Samuel, again, Saul is doing something here. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verses 21. Here we read another example that the word is really portraying to us. 1 Samuel 15 and 21. Here it says, but the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen and the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than fat of rams. Hallelujah. For the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity in idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and he hath also rejected thee from being a king. See, what should not be brought to the presence of God was brought to the presence of God, and it was an excuse. You know, we didn't know that we shouldn't bring this to the presence of God. We didn't know that we shouldn't come before the Lord like this. Hallelujah. We didn't know. You know, we didn't know that. That's what we say. There's so many excuses like that coming up. And with this excuse, what happened? He was no longer worthy to be the king. Hallelujah. He was no longer worthy to be the king. Look at that. What happened? Saul's life. Another example. Finally, another example from the Word. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. From the New Covenant. Romans chapter 1. Another unexcusable thing that we read in the Word. Romans 1:20. The book of Romans chapter 1 and verses 20. This is what it says. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. For in his invisible power of him, hallelujah, it's very clear. What do we understand from this? Also, sin is an absolute and inexcusable. That's what it says. Sin is inexcusable. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Different kinds of excuses. Adam gave an excuse for eating the forbidden fruit. Aaron Nathan gave an excuse for making the golden calf. King Saul gave an excuse for offering a sacrifice. Again, King Saul gave an excuse, and he was not worthy to be king anymore. Sin is another excuse that is not allowing us to stand in the divine presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren and sisters, as we are in the presence of the Lord, you can see there are different excuses, but all these excuses always made people go away from the presence of God, because the foolish shall not stand in His presence. Well, if you are not able to stand in His presence in day-to-day life, how are we going to stand in the coming of the Lord? If you are not able to stand because of different things that are happening in our lives, how are we able to go and stand before the Lord? What is an excuse today in our lives? What are the excuses that we are giving? Well, we could see different people giving different excuses in the Word. But personally, what does the Word say that is our excuse today? What does the Word say this is the excuse in human beings? This is the excuse that the man of God gave. What are the excuses? There are seven different kinds of excuses what the Word exposes. Well, that's what I always say. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, when the Spirit of God reveals the Word to us, there are so many things in our lives are exposed. When things in our lives are exposed, we do not really like it. We directly say, this man is trying to talk to me. This man is trying to expose my mistakes. This man is trying to bring out something that I did. Well, no, my friend. Otherwise, if you come before the Lord and say, oh Lord, yes, this is my life, please do forgive me, God will have mercy upon our lives. Hallelujah. God will have mercy and build us back into His fullness. Build us back into Him. What a great privilege that is. Well, let us see what does the Bible says about the excuses we offer in order to neglect our spiritual duty. The excuses that we offer in order to neglect our spiritual duties, where we end up in spiritual defilement. Where we end up in spiritual defilement. Well, let's read the Word. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 11. The first and the foremost excuse in our personal lives. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And let's also read Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. The book of Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto, nor since has spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow in speech, low in tongue. I am slow in speech and slow in tongue. Look at that. The first and the foremost excuse that we give to the Lord in order to neglect our spiritual duty, or in order to do it for a false reason, is personal incompetency. Personal incompetency. What is personal incompetency? What does that mean? It means to tell, Lord, I'm personally weak and I cannot do this. Lord, I cannot do that. Lord, this is my state. This is my state. This is the state of my body. This is the state of my life. I cannot do this. There's so many times there are negatives that come out of our lives where we tell the Lord, this is not possible unto me, Lord. Lord, this is not possible unto me. That's what he says. Moses is giving, oh, his personal incompetency. Look at this. Let me give an example of a Gentile who has not till coming to the Lord. Let me give an example. In contrary to this, what Moses is like. We all know about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was short in stature. Well, all he wanted in his life was to see who this Jesus Christ of Nazareth was. When he had a desire, his desire led him to a destiny where he could literally climb up to a sycamore tree. Hallelujah. So where we lack today in our lives, we want to give an excuse. You don't want to do it, but you tell you can't do it. When the Lord Himself is telling, the Creator Himself is speaking to you many times. Son, I need you to do this. Daughter, I need you to do this. I want you to be in this place so and so time at so and so. However, you say, Lord, this is not possible to me. It is possible for all your personal needs, whatever you want to do, but it's not possible when the Lord wants you to do His will. So today, personal incompetency is really attacking so many saints. Personally, brothers and sisters, in our walk of faith, we are experiencing when the Lord says something, we are always having a hedge to it. We are telling, Lord, it is not possible unto me. I can never do this. This can never happen. By me, I can never do this. All you want to do is escape. Look at that. You can also see Jonah. Jonah was a very strong example for this. The Lord called him and said, hey Jonah, my people are really struggling in the neighbor. They don't know who God is. They're really going on, the wrath of God is going to come upon them. I want you to go to the neighbor and talk to those people and tell them what the Lord wants to say. Tell them that they're turning to their wicked ways and they're worshipping idols. Tell them to turn and come back to me. Jonah, I want to save those people, Jonah. Go talk to those people. Here is Jonah, did not want to do it. Well, if he did not want to do it, he could say, Lord, I don't want to do it and I want to sit aside. Why did he go to Nineveh? He can directly say, well, the Bible says he escaped from Nineveh. He escaped to Tarshish. Instead of going to Nineveh, the Bible says he went to Tarshish. What is the need for him to go to Tarshish? He could have stayed back and told, Lord, I can never go, Lord, please. This is not possible for me. Even if you ask me to go, I'm not going to go. Just leave it, Lord. Well, fine. The Lord will also give him his fruit for not obeying him. But he could have stayed there, but he went to Tarshish. The Bible says, talks about Tarshish. I don't know how many of you have ever come across while reading about Tarshish in the Word. Tarshish is a place which is the most business land. You can call it the most business land. Where a lot of money games were played. We can also call it as the different kinds of witchcraft, sorcery, and games made with money. We can also call it for we can also call it as a real laboratory for committing adultery, and different sorts of things were there. It was a business line, it was a posh line, it was a rich line. So he wanted to go to Tarshish. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to proclaim the word. He wanted to go to Tarshish. Look at that. Well, he was on the boat to Tarshish. The Lord knew he could never stand before his presence. The Lord literally put him back. You know, the Lord had mercy upon him. My dear brothers and sisters, there's so many times in our personal lives, we have so many things to do. We are engaged with so many things. We want to do the choice. We want to do what we like according to our choice. But God tries to explain to us, to make us understand and to do His will. To walk according to His purpose, we would really not like it. We would really not agree with it. But here the Lord is telling, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. What happened? The Lord had mercy upon him, took him back to Nineveh. The Lord saved all his people. Same way it happened to Moses. If Moses would have really, he was trying to escape, but the Lord had mercy upon him, led him to Egypt and saved his people. Hallelujah. Look at that. So my dear brothers and sisters, today as we are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, is there something in your personal life? Is it your disease or your weakness or your bodily desire or your fleshly desire? Anything that is hindering you to do God's will? Well, confess it before the Lord Jesus Christ today. Because that should never get in between you and the Lord. That should never be an excuse for you to worship Him. That should never be an excuse for you to come into the limelight of Christ and just see His divine presence and talk to Him and work His purpose out. That should never be an excuse. So the first and the foremost excuse is your personal life, your personal incompetency. Telling, Lord, I can never do this. This can never happen. Lord, I'm weak. It sounds, so many people would think, oh, what a humble man Moses is. He's telling he cannot speak. But it's not because of that. Moses truly didn't want to go. He wanted to escape. It is God's divine mercy. It's God's divine mercy expressed unto him what the Lord wanted to really do. Alas, though he tried to escape, the Lord still took him. Another example, Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah was telling, Lord, I cannot go. Jeremiah was a son of a priest, a royal priest. But Jeremiah did not really like to go. What happened? Jeremiah had to go. The Lord said, Jeremiah, I put my word in your mouth. Jeremiah, I put my word in your mouth. Go speak unto these people. Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm only a boy. I can never do that. Personal incompetency. Telling, oh Lord, I cannot do this. Come on. Today in our lives, we are not able to stand in His presence, even on living on earth. How are we going to face the day that is going to come very horrible before us? But the Lord is going to come as refine as fire. How are we going to face Him that day? foolish shall not stand in his presence. Well, let's look the second point. Number one is personal incompetency. Number two is Jude chapter 6 and verse 15. The book before Revelation, Jude chapter 6 and verse 15. The book of Judges chapter 6 and verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. The second excuse that we give before the Lord is lack of social position. What is meant by social position? I live in a society where I'm not well versed, where I belong to, I'm uneducated, I don't have any education, maybe I'm an undergraduate, or maybe in our lives, there is something because you might be a poorest of poorer families. But if the Lord called you, you should never give that as an excuse. Your social life, especially your lack of social position in the society, will never or should never be an excuse before the Lord. Here is a man telling to the Lord, Lord, my family is the smallest in Manasseh. Or we live as the smallest life. We don't have a house. We don't live in a good house. We don't live in this place. How do you expect us to do this, Lord? How do you expect us to come? Here is Abraham, very best example. The Lord blessed him in his very old age. When Sarah was 90 years old, the Lord blessed them and gave them a child. After the Lord gave them a child, the Lord is asking back, I need the child back. When the Lord was asking, he needs the child back. When he wanted the child back, Abraham didn't utter a word. He didn't say, Lord, after a long, long time, you gave me a child and you're asking him back. He took him directly. He was going to offer him as a living sacrifice, made the wood ready, and asked Isaac to sleep. Isaac literally asked, Oh father, where is the animal that we are going to sacrifice? We have made the wood ready and everything ready. Even after being laid on there, Isaac did not speak. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, look at Abraham, what he did. He was literally didn't say, Lord, here's my son. Your social position can never stop you. Your social position should never be an excuse in order to accomplish God's will. Today in our lives, how do you expect me to pray when I live in a humidity of 50 degrees or 45 degrees Celsius? The heat is coming from down, from top, and I could see the heat, and I can never kneel and pray before the Lord. I can never cry. Though I pray, my prayer is coming back to my bosom. What can I do? I don't have situations which are so good for me to pray. Well, go back to the Word. Long ago, were there really good houses? Long ago, were there really good places that they could pray in fellowship? Every time was a terror. If they wanted to fellowship, they never knew who would come and kill them. They never knew who would come and attack them. But they still continued. Their social position in the society never hindered. Look at Paul and Silas, what they said. What we have heard and what we have seen, we can't stop sharing. There was a lot of hindrances in their ministry. The hindrance in their ministry was, hey, come on, Paul and Silas, if you're going to preach from tomorrow onwards, you are going to be literally killed, man. They didn't listen. They just said this. What we have heard and what we have seen, we can't stop telling. I can't stop falling in love with Jesus. I can't stop sharing Jesus. No matter where I, who I am, how low I am, I cannot stop. That's what they were telling. They took them and put them in the prison. Prison could not withhold them. Prison could not stand with them. It is because they were in the presence of God. Their social position never hindered to proclaim the word of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how small you are, how least you are, how lowest family you belong to, but Jesus knows every single thing in our lives. He knows our state before Him. Hallelujah. You have to say, Lord, no matter, Lord, I don't have a house, I don't live in a good position, I must be poor, my family must be poor, everything is poor, but you have called me, Lord. I'll hit to your word. The Lord called Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to leave that place. Oh Lord, you are asking me to leave my cattle, you are asking me to leave everything. How do you expect me to do that, Lord? You ask me, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Abraham, leave everything and come and follow me. That's what the Lord said. Oh, Abraham didn't say anything. He obeyed. Though he came into a foreign land where he lacked social position. He came into a foreign land where he didn't have a position, where he didn't have a house, where he didn't have anything. He came. In that land, the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him 100-fold. Hallelujah. The Lord blessed him 200-fold. Hallelujah. The same position that he lost, he didn't have, for which he didn't seek, he got it back by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a great privilege, dear saints. What a wonderful privilege it is to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, never to excuse. The second excuse in our lives is because of lack of social position. I don't know, though you have everything done, well done, still we nag over things. We still say, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. Well, a little story that I've heard. A boy was nagging his dad to buy a new shoe. Dad, are you going to buy a new shoe or not? The dad's salary was quite less, but he was nagging his dad. Dad, I need a shoe. I don't know, you're going to buy me a shoe. And dad said, all right, son, I'm fed up of you. You have been tormenting me a lot. I'm going to just go and buy a shoe for you. Come on, let's go. That's what the dad said. So this boy, along with his dad, came out of the house. Suddenly, to his appearance in front of him, there stood a beggar without legs. There stood a beggar without legs. Oh, this boy literally realized, I'm asking for this shoe because I have legs. I'm asking for this shoe because I have legs. Hallelujah. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, there's so many times in our lives we nag, though the Lord blesses us. We still mock before the Lord. We see, oh, this is not there, that is not there, this is not good, this is not sufficient, that is not sufficient. Even looking at the highest state God has given you, there are poorest of poor people that do not have the position. There are poorest of poor people that do not have clothes to wear, food to eat or anything, that lack social position, that are in ditches, but still they praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Still they praise Jesus. Will you be able to stand at present in these last days before the Lord? If you're not able to stand today, and if you give excuses to the Lord about your social position, you will never be able to stand before the Lord tomorrow. You will never ever be stand. Some of the saints have told me, oh, people in the West, though they are blessed, they still say they lack something. Well, saints, that's why I always tell, you know, just come down to different places. There are different places that you can watch through your own eyes. People literally pick up from the street food which is thrown away. They still pick up from the leaves and eat. There are people like that. There are people in that state. What a great blessing that Jesus has blessed. Be satisfied where you are, what you do. Do not worry about your social position. Let that not hinder you to come before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Thirdly, let's look at the third excuse in order to neglect your spiritual duty. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13, the book after Psalms, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. This is what the word says. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. But there's a lion outside, I will be slain in the streets. A slothful man saith, there's a lion in the streets, I shall be slain in the streets. There's a lion outside, I'll be slain. The third excuse is in difficulties of the undertaking. In difficulties of the undertaking. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, this walk is not an easy walk. Maybe they can tell you in the beginning, oh, being a Christian, yes, it is good. It's a blessing to talk with the Lord, to fellowship with the Lord. It's a blessing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, he is saints, for there is no one to them that fear him. Amen. Glory to God. Well, it is true, this walk is full of joy. This walk is full of peace. This walk is full of Jesus. But there are difficulties that as a Christian, as a believer of the Lord, you have to come across in your life. Your difficulties should never become an excuse in order to undertake your difficulties. There will be times in your life where you have to go through difficult situations. There are times in your life where you lose your job. There are times in your life where you'll be completely mocked and completely looked down. There are difficult times in everybody's lives. I tell, a Christian without a difficulty is not truly a Christian. A believer without a difficulty is not a believer. Think, if everything is silent, cozy, and everything is going on cool and everything is fine, you'll forget Jesus, my friend. You'll forget Jesus Christ. So, and that difficulty should never become your excuse to come before the Lord. Difficult situations. Oh brother, I don't know what to do. This is my situation today. I don't know how to overcome this situation. I don't know how to come before the Lord in this tug of fire situation that I'm going through. It is completely a chaos in my life. I'm not able to face the Lord. Come before the Lord in difficulties that you're undertaking. Well, Paul said, many times I was beaten with the rods. Many times, brethren, I was mocked among my own. Hallelujah. Without much trial and tribulation, he shall never enter his kingdom. No pain, no gain. Today, so many people do not understand the cross, do not understand what the Lord really wants them to understand. The Lord is telling. The Lord is opening his word unto us that we would never expect to go. We have to go through situations which are contrary to God's word, which are contrary to the promises that God has given in our lives. But well, maybe things would, first reason that you're not able to stand before the throne of grace or before the Lord is because of your excuses. The first excuse that you offer to neglect your spiritual duty is your personal incompetency. Number two is lack of social position. Number three, the difficulties that you're undertaking. Number four, personal weakness. Number five, Matthew chapter 25, verse 24.
Still coming.
The book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 25 and verses 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 24 and 25. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast sown and gathering where thou hast not stored. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in earth. Lo, that there has that mine. Hallelujah. Let's also read verse 25. Hardness of the master. Here are the Lord giving talents to so many here, about 10 people. He gave one talent to a man. This man hid his talent in the ground. This man hid his talent, digged the ground and hid his talent there. And what happened was, the Lord is coming back and asking, where is the talent that I have given you? What have you done with it? Lord, I knew that you are a man, you know, I knew that thou art an hard man. There's another excuse. The hardness of the master. The hardness of the master is another excuse in our lives. Today we were going to tell the Lord, Lord, I knew. Now if I do this, you're not going to allow me to do this. I knew, Lord, if I do this, you're going to break me into pieces. I knew, Lord, that if I do this, you're not allowing me to go and see your presence. Here is man coming. There's so many times we have talents in our lives that the Lord has given us. The Lord has given us so many things in our lives. He has blessed us. Those people that can sing in the presence of God. Those people that can read the word in the presence of God, can read the word of God, read the word. Those that can prophesy. Those that can see visions. Those that that have the word of knowledge, can release the knowledge in His presence. But so many times, the Lord is asking, where is it? I haven't asked you to use my talent. That's what you would ask. So that's the reason, Lord, I hid it. That's the reason I kept it somewhere safe, Lord. That's the reason I kept it somewhere safe. I didn't use it. Well, my friend, what is your answer before the Lord? If He's going to ask you, oh, come on, Danny, what have you done with the words that I gave you on that day? What have you done when somebody came to you and said, Danny, you have to share the word? What have you done that time? Were you telling, oh no, I don't want to use this opportunity, I neglect it? Well, no. Lord, I have received it in your name because your word said, oh Lord, you wanted me there and I will be there. What you want me, want of me, Lord, all glory and all honor belongs to you, and I will do it for you, Lord. No matter how weak I am, no matter what situation I am, Lord, I will surely follow you. I will follow Jesus till the end. Glory to Lord. Hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, the hardness of the master should never be your excuse. He beats those he loves. He chastens those he wants, those whom he wants. He chastens you not because he hates you. He chastens you not because he does not want you. He chastens you because he wants to bring a good shape out of you. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
He knows how to shape us. He knows how to bring us into a shape. He knows how to drive our lives. What a mighty God we have. What a wonderful Jesus we have. Glory to God. Hallelujah. His hardness of the master, your excuse, my friend. Well, let's look at the fifth reason or the fifth excuse that we give. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 44. The book of Matthew. The book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 44. Let's read the book of Matthew chapter 25 verse 44. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered? When did we see thee thirst? Or when did we see you as a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? Or did not minister unto thee? The sixth excuse is no excuse, no need discovered. The sixth excuse is the no need discovered. There's another excuse. Here is the Lord telling them, I was hungry, you didn't clothe me. I was thirsty, you didn't never give me water. I was a stranger, you never allowed me to come into your house. I was sick, you didn't treat me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. So when did all this happen, Lord? When did this happen? When we did not clothe you? When we did not feed you? When we did not give you water to drink? When we did not take care after you or give you hospitality? This is another excuse in our lives. My dear brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He that hears my voice and opens the door, I will be with him and he will be with me when we will eat together. What a great blessing. So today in our lives, so many times, we give an excuse, no need discovered. There's no need discovered in our lives. The Lord is asking you to, have you not sensed in the Spirit the Lord has come? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, it talks about hospitality. Some without knowing have given hospitality to angels. Look at this. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawareness. Look at that. Some have entertained angels without their awareness. Look at that. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, as the children of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many times, so many tap on our walls, so many people tap on our doors. Are we able to receive them? Are we able to talk to them? Are we able to take care of them? That's the reason he gives an example of a good Samaritan, where he tells, a good Samaritan was going from Jerusalem. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, beaten in the hands of thieves. A good Samaritan picked him up, dressed his wounds, put him in an inn, put him in a lodge. What a great blessing. My dear brother, are you going to tomorrow tell Lord, when did you ask me to do this? When did you ask me to do that? Oh, the sixth excuse that we give is no need at all discovered. There's no need discovered in our lives. The Lord wants to bring us into a place where we understand this. Hallelujah. Finally, and seventhly, let's look. Luke chapter 14 and verse 18, 19, and 20. The book of Luke chapter 14, verses 18, 19, and 20. The final excuse, or the seventh excuse. And they all with content began to make an excuse. The first one said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. And I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to go and prove them. And I pray that thou I would excuse me. Another said, I have married with a wife, therefore I cannot come. Look at that. Luke chapter 14, verses 18, 19, and 20. 3 different kinds of excuses are coming. One is telling, oh Lord, I have bought a piece of land, so I cannot come here and join you. Oh Lord, I have bought in 5 yoke of oxen, I have to take care of them. Another one is telling, oh, I am newly married, I cannot just come. The Lord is calling them. Here is a final excuse that they are giving. Pleasure of business. The final excuse is pleasure of business. So many times we are so much engaged with our work, and if you every time ask, oh, what have you been doing, brother? What have you been doing, sister? You'll be saying, oh, I've been working, Danny, I've been working 24/7, or completely working and working and working and working. How long will you work? What profit is a man if he gaineth the whole world and loseth his life? Amen. It is easy for a camel to enter into the needle's hole, but it's tough for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. Beloved saints, brethren and sisters, as we are in the presence of God, the Almighty God, is our business coming as a hindrance or an excuse before the Lord? Is your business today an excuse before the Lord? The Lord is bringing us into a place where He wants to remove every excuse. He wants to remove every mask of excuse in our lives. Your business should never, your work should never become your excuse to worship the Lord. Your work should never become your excuse to come before His presence. Who shall stand in the day of the Lord? His day shall come like a refiner's fire. His day shall come like a refiner's fire. Who shall stand in the day of the Lord? Are you able to stand before the Lord just today? Are you able to stand just today before His coming itself? You're not able to go before His throne of grace and worship and bless His name. Worship Him or bless His name. You're not able to go today. How will you go tomorrow, my friend? How will you go tomorrow? How will you tomorrow go before His presence? Adam gave an excuse for eating this forbidden fruit. Aaron gave an excuse for making a golden calf. King Saul gave an excuse for offering a sacrifice. Again, King Saul gave an excuse for bringing all detestable things into the presence of God. Also, the Bible says, sin is inexcusable. Hallelujah. There are 7 excuses offered to neglect your spiritual duty. Number one is your spiritual. Number one is your personal incompetency, telling that you're personally, you have a stammering tongue or you're weak like Moses. Number two, lack of social position. Number three, difficulties of undertaking. Number four is your personal weakness or your disease, whatever. Number five, hardness of the master. Number six, no need discovered at all. Number seven, pressure of work or pressure of business that I do. These are the 7 excuses the Word is really telling us, my friend. If all these excuses, you're telling, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. If your oil is going to be over tonight, if your oil is going to be over tonight, will you be able to face the King, my friend? Come on. Nothing in your life should never be an excuse. Today is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us take this day before the Lord. Let us come before His throne of grace, seeking His face. Let us ask the Lord to have mercy upon our lives. If there is something called an excuse in your life today which is really hindering you to come before the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it? Is it your spiritual incompetency? Or is it your lack of social position in this world today or in the society? Is it the difficulties that you're undertaking is an excuse? Is it the weakness, personal weakness that you're going through is your excuse? Or is it the hardness of the master or Jesus itself is your excuse? Because he's chastening you, you don't want to come before him, is it? Or is it no need discovered? Without hospitality. Is your work your excuse? If anything becomes your excuse, my friend, that will be taken away. Now, I'll give a final example before I conclude. There was a sister, a beloved sister in the Lord. She was waiting and weeping before the Lord, wanting for children. Oh Lord, I need children. Lord, everybody are mocking at me in the society. I don't know, Lord, somehow you have to bless me with a child. Oh, she went to the man of God. The man of God told her, oh, do you have any curses before in your family? Was your family involved in any kind of witchcraft or anything? Or any other things? And he said, no. And again, the man of God prayed over her, asked her to confess the curses. He broke every curse. After praying over her, everything was over. She was praying and the Lord gave her a blessed baby, a girl baby. And this girl baby was born and she stopped coming to the fellowship. When she stopped coming to the fellowship, the saints asked her, oh, why did you stop coming to the fellowship? What is the reason you didn't come to the fellowship? And you know what she said? Oh, I don't know, not able to tolerate this baby. Because if I come to the fellowship, this baby keeps crying, you know. You asked the Lord for a baby and the Lord gave you a baby. Today your baby is becoming a hindrance to you to come to the presence of God. Whatever is your hindrance, my friend, the Lord will take it away if you don't come before him. If that becomes your excuse today, that will no longer be yours. If your riches be your excuse, that will no longer be yours. Your personal incompetency becomes your excuse, that will no longer be yours. Anything that you do or everything that you do against the will of God, that becomes your excuse. My friend, it will no longer be yours. Let's pray and seek the face of the Lord.
Jesus will go home. Only the blood of Jesus can atone. You may do a lot of good in this world where you go. Only those who come to Jesus will go home. Jesus came down from heaven just to die. Conquer death and to give eternal life. No matter where you go to church, where your name is known, only those who come to Jesus will go home. Jesus will go home. Only the blood of Jesus can atone. You may do a lot of good in this world where you roam. Only those who come to Jesus will go home. Heaven is a perfect place, and God wants you for his own. And only those who come to Jesus will go home. Only those who come to Jesus will go home. Can atone.
pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace tonight, Jesus. Thank you for the mercy and thank you for your word, O Lord. Your word alone, O Lord, makes us to face you. Your word alone, O Lord, by your grace and encouragement, that makes us to stand before you. I pray for every brother and sister in this room tonight. Every family, Father, that everyone that is not able to stand before you, Lord, that everyone that is going to be accountable for some or the other excuse in life, Father, have mercy upon us. Jesus, have mercy upon us and set us free right now, Lord. Let us give first preference to you, Father. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. Lord, it's you alone. It's your throne alone. It's your presence alone. It is you alone, Jesus, that will never pass away. So let us strong to you, Lord. Let us strong to you, Father. Let us embrace you, Jesus. Pray for every brother and every sister. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them, Jesus. That you will be perfected in their lives. Thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name I pray.